when all the lies and innuendos and the things that try to stop that are all backed by the devil, always trying to stop God's work. I hear leaders pray that prayer. I've prayed that prayer. Oh God, strengthen my hands for His great work.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, good day, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. Pastor Bill continues a study in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah today with the conclusion to the message, O God, strengthen my hands. Let's listen in.
You need to pray the exact same thing whenever these things happen to you. And he goes on and he says here, he says, oh, God, strengthen my hands. Now listen to me. Prayer is the work for the work. Does that make sense? You're not prepared if you have not prayed. Prayer is the work. Again, he prayed, oh, God, strengthen my hands. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, he said, you can do absolutely nothing. Lies, rumors, constantly going. Boy, they take a toll on a leader. They really do. They take a toll. You know what? The next time, I encourage you to do something. The next time you hear a rumor that floats through this church, why don't you ask the person this that's telling you that? May I quote you? May I quote you? What's your name? May I quote you? You'll find out in a hurry. Don't quote me. No, oh, no, listen. You know, there is no greater coward. I say this in tenderness and love. There is no greater coward in the church today than those who write slanderous, critical, slanderous letters against leaders, but they don't have enough courage to sign their name. You know what I mean? Why? Because they're slanderers. They're not working for God. They're working for the enemy of God. Amen? You know what General MacArthur and Winston Churchill, they both said? Listen to what they said. We don't answer criticism, and we don't respond to slander. We don't respond to accusation. If we did, it would take all of our time just fighting attacks. That's why Nehemiah, he didn't defend himself. He gave it over to the Lord. He said, no, I'm not going to worry about it. Listen, I'll tell you something. You have to be careful. You better be gentle as a dove and man as wise as a serpent around so-called believers who come and give you counsel or say things about you, but never work for God. Man, you got to be careful. Alan Redpath said this. He says, whether you be a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist or a Sunday school leader, whatever your position may be in Christian leadership, he says, let me say that there will always be those who are friendly to your face, but who plan your downfall behind your back. Beware of the fawning, flattering Christian who is always fluttering around you and who behind your back will be the first to rejoice when they see you go down. Man, is that tough? Alan Redpath was a great man of God. He knew what he was talking about. Now look at the third scheme, and that is not just fear and treachery, but it has to do with God himself. Watch this. And afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of whatever his name was, who was a secret informer. Now maybe he was a priest, I don't really know. And he said, now watch what he's going to say. Let us meet, Nehemiah, let us meet together and look at the location in the house of God. Within, not out in the courtyard, but within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple. Here it comes. For they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to you. Nehemiah, there's a contract out on your life. Tonight, you're going to die. They're on their way right now. They're going to kill you. Now listen, when the enemies of God, and let's just use Satan, when he can't cause you to compromise or to leave the work that you're doing, you know what he does? He turns And he uses someone that you trust more than anything in life, and that is God. That's what's happening right here. In other words, Nehemiah, listen, you love God. I know that you'll feel safe. I know that you'll feel secure. Come on, let's go into the house of God. His presence there, he will be safe there because, you know, we're under the wings now of the Almighty or whatever he might be telling him. Let's just hide in the temple because they'll not dare open these doors and come in and try to harm you in a way. Someone said this, Satan is far less dangerous as a roaring lion than he is as an angel of light. Because he comes to us as an angel of light, we must stay on guard at all times. See, Nehemiah, even though it sounded like the solution in a way, he discerns the trap. He discerns what they're doing. You know, listen, nowhere does the Lord ever encourage a believer to be a coward. Amen? No. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, maybe it's verse 8, I don't know, pretty close. It says that the cowardly and the unbelieving and all the rest of them, they're going to be in the lake of fire. But we're not cowards. Amen? Not at all. Loved one, listen, the Bible says that God, in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given unto us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I'm going to tell you something, man. The man, the woman who kneels before God in prayer can stand in the presence of any person alive. Any person. Why? Because you're a man, a woman of prayer. Look at verse 11. And I said, he's saying to Shemaiah, that priest or whoever he might be, should a man such as I flee? Should I run? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? And look what he says. I will not go in. He says, I'm not going to run. Look at all the people that they've worked. They put their heart into all this work. They have built the wall. We're ready to put the gates up. He says, you think I'm going to run out on them? He's saying, leaders don't run. Hirelings run, but leaders, they don't run. He says, I'm not going to stop working on this great work that God has given me, even if they come and they kill me. And look what happened in verse 12. Now he walks in discernment again. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy. You're going to die, Nehemiah. Here they come. Against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. In other words, he was on their payroll. What is worse than a false prophet for hire? Amen. You know, and that's what happened. Do you know over 30 some odd years now plus of ministry, 25 with you guys here, you'd be surprised if I shared with you how many believers, if they were believers, that approached me mainly usually during service, after the service or in between services, and told me if I did not do such and such, thus saith the Lord, that you will be removed from this place immediately. And I said, is that right? You know, I mean, are you kidding me? I had people actually come one day and said, if you don't change the theme song on the radio program, and I'm going, who do you want me to put on? Listen, did you know anyone can say they're speaking for God? Did you know that? Anyone, anybody, I'm speaking for the Lord. That's why you have to have discernment, loved one. You know, the Bible says, John the Apostle, remember what he wrote in 1 John 4:1? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test, or literally prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And man, they've established themselves in the world, and the world is easily deceived. Amen? No, well, we walk in discernment. Now, listen, when John penned 1 John 4:1, he wasn't talking about those outside of the church. He was talking about those inside of the church that claimed to speak by the Spirit of God. He said, oh, no, man, you better test the spirits. You better discern whether that's a word from God or if it's not a word from God. Look at verse 13. For this reason he was hired, talking about that false prophet, and the reason that I should be afraid and act that way, and look at this one now, and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. In other words, If fear is not going to work on Nehemiah, false allegations, slander, rumors, if that's not going to work, here's the deal. Okay, what we need to do to put this guy out of business, to make this leader, to ruin him, we're going to have to get this person to sin. If we get him to sin, it is completely over with, because he will be viewed then as an ineffective leader. Now, listen, for Nehemiah to go into the temple and to go and hide there in the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, if that's where that place was, or even the most holy place, or rather the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, which was where the offerings and all that were offered, was sin. He couldn't go in there. You know why? He wasn't a priest. Only priests were allowed to do that. Read, I think it's Numbers 18:7, or right in that area. Read that. Man, you'll die. You'll be killed because if you do something like that. Only the Levites could go in there. You know, and not only that, remember when King Uzziah, when he went into the temple, set himself up, what happened to him? Total leper, remember? No, you'll be judged for that. So here, you know, disobey God, Nehemiah. Yeah, if you do, you'll be safe from your enemies. No, listen, Nehemiah, again, was not a priest, and no true prophet of God, no true man of God would ever tell a believer to violate the laws of God. Amen? And that's what was happening here. Now, look what he says. He's going to pray again. I love Nehemiah. He goes, "My God, remember Tobiah, remember Sanballat, according to their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid." You know, the strategy that they used then is the same today. And that is a strategy to discredit God's leaders any way they can. So what did Nehemiah do? Well, again, he goes to the Lord. He doesn't defend himself. He just goes to the Lord and said, "Lord, here they are." In other words, remember what God says, or Paul said in, what was it, Romans 12:9? He says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." He just turned them over and said, "God, here they are. Would you remember them?" And I tell you what, I'm sure God didn't forget them. Amen? Now, look at verse 15. It says, "So the wall was what? Finished on the 25th day of Yule," that's September, and look how long it took. It was completed in 52 days. Loved one, listen to me. Man, 52 days. The walls of Jerusalem were in ruins for over 100 years. For 100 years, the people who were left behind after the deportation and all the rest of it, they wanted walls. They wanted the walls built. They were defenseless. They had no protection. And you know, for 100 years, they saw that. For 100 years, people that lived there saw the rubble in Jerusalem, but they did not do one thing about it. No one even tried to build the walls. Ezra didn't. Zerubbabel didn't when he brought back the people from Babylonian captivity. But here, God sends a leader to correct a 100-year-old issue. And he does so in 52 days. That is absolutely miraculous. Amen? I look at that and I say, "Oh God, you're so good." You know, I started thinking about that. How did he, in 52 days, now we know that one of the reasons was absolutely leadership, and that the people, remember, they had a heart for the work, a mind to work. They were all united, everyone working, even if they had to have a weapon in one hand and their construction tool in the other, remember? But if we really investigate this, how did it happen in 52 days? I went back and reread chapters 1 and 2. Do you remember what Nehemiah, whenever his brother came and gave him a report on the condition of Jerusalem, do you remember what he did? He fasted and he prayed for 4 long months. 4 months. It only took less than 2 months to rebuild the wall. In other words, he worked longer in prayer than he did rebuilding the wall. Never, I know you've heard me say this so many times, but you know what? Prayer is always the work. It's always the work. I was sharing tonight with someone. We were talking about the pulpit. And I said, you know, when you get into the pulpit, this is not where it happens. This is not where the action is. The action is what happened in your prayer time. Does that make sense? Then you come out here. You're prepared. The Lord is yours now. I've done what you've called me to do. If you haven't prayed, you're not ready. If you haven't prayed, you're not prepared. Prayer is always going to be the work. 4 months of prayer, he walked out there, and less than 2 months, the entire wall was completely built. How do you answer opposition? Because it's going to come into your life. The greatest way to answer opposition is this. You finish what God told you to start. You don't quit. And you know what it does? It just makes the enemy mad. And that's a good thing. See, Jerusalem is no longer a reproach. Jerusalem is no longer defenseless. The wall is built. And not only that, Jerusalem now is a witness to the world again. And that's what leadership accomplished. Look at verse 16. And it happened when all our what? Enemies. They heard it. They saw it, in other words. And not only just the enemies, watch this now, all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by Nehemiah. Is that what it says? No, it was done by our God. 52 days, how amazing. Listen, isn't it wonderful? It blesses me. I look at this and I'm going, oh Lord, it blesses me to see the enemies of God. They're despondent, they're disheartened, they're defeated. Amen? All the nations, all the enemies, man, they're depressed, they're discouraged, and not only that, they're afraid. And you know why? Because now they know that it's evident that this wall that has been built by the people of God was done all by God. It was his work. It was his great work. Listen, leaders, Christians, listen up very carefully. The enemy only becomes discouraged. The enemy only becomes depressed. The enemy only becomes disheartened only when God does the work. When we do the work, they laugh at us. But when God does the work, they crumble. Do you understand? Man, don't ever, ever forget that. The work that we do is not our work. It is the work that we do for God. Did you notice in this chapter how different it was from the other chapters? That now what they did in this chapter before, I mean, they discouraged the workers, all the other things. But this time, they came against not the people. They came against just one individual. They came against the leader. In other words, they knew, man, that the quickest way to stop the wall is to kill the leader. And that's exactly what they wanted to do. And the reason why is because, see, without leadership, that principle that I keep telling you, without leadership, absolutely nothing gets done. Nehemiah knew that if he left that work, it would come to a standstill. Every work of God needs someone leading that work, where it's not pride. It's not my work. It's not about me. It's all about God. Amen? And that's the way it was for Nehemiah. He says, also in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them, for many in Judah were pledged to him. They were on his side, in other words, because of the son-in-law and so forth, and his son had married the daughter of so forth. And also, they reported his good deeds before me and reported my words to him. Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. So even though the wall was now complete, the doors are going to be hung and all that, there was still oppression. They were still trying to oppose the work. Listen, I have found that the closer you get to finish a work for God, the greater the attack. Does that make sense? See, it escalates as you go along because the enemy's falling apart. When they see, you know, I sent a letter out, loved one, to the staff last week. And I told them and I said this. I said, after 25 years, I said, the plowing at Calvary Chapel is now over. And now the true work begins. You know, and that is a true word. And as we move forward now as into the future, I want to tell you something. You know, the warfare escalates. It escalates. And it's going to continue, but it's okay. We win. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen? We don't, like Pastor Raul was talking Sunday, and I agree, he said it 100 times, I agree with him, that we fight from the point of victory. The devil always fights from the point of defeat. Always. Loved one, listen. Be wise. Verse 3 is a great scripture. I love verse 3. When Nehemiah, he cries out and he says, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Now listen to me. If he had, he would be a dead man. He said, he told his enemies, no, this is a great work, man. I just can't do it. May I ask you a question? I know it's time to go home tonight. But, have you stopped? Has something stopped you from doing the great work that God has called you to do? It's not your work, it's his work. He works through you. Has something stopped you? Did you compromise along the way? Did you stop working for the Lord? Or what is that great work that God has placed in your life? What is it? Are you doing it? The Bible says in Philippians 2:12, Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, he says, work out, literally bring to conclusion your own salvation with fear and trembling. And he tells us why. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Let me read that from the Phillips translation. For it is God who is at work within you, giving you the will, giving you the power to achieve his purpose in your life. Man, I tell you, you have a great calling and a great work before you. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God has ordained what before the world was ever even created, that we should walk in them. Oh, listen, we should be crying out, oh God, strengthen my hands for this great work, this good work. I can't come down. I can't come down. I can't stop. If you read the book of Matthew chapter 27 toward the end, you remember what they did to our Lord? There they were wagging their heads in front of him as he was upon the cross. And they said, oh, if you be the King of Israel, come down from the cross. Come on down. If you come down, we will believe you. But all you have to do is just come down. Jesus would say, I cannot come down. I cannot come down. I'm doing a great work. For if I be lifted up from this earth, I will draw all peoples unto myself. What a great work. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't come down? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't save himself? Oh, loved one, listen. You are doing a great work for God. The other day, I was at the breakfast table, and it had been my anniversary and Becky's anniversary, and I brought home, 50 dozen roses, and they were beautiful roses. And we, you cut them. You know how you do. You trim the bottoms, right? And you put them in a nice glass vase or whatever you call that. And you put the little powder in there because you buy them at Kroger. And, you need, and it helps keep those flowers alive, right? And I was looking at them, and I told Becky about a week later or whatever. And I said, those roses, honey, are just beautiful. I'll never forget it. She looked at me and she said, honey, those roses are dead. And I went, dear God, you're right. And there's a lot of believers. They look so good. They look so beautiful. But they're really dead. They're not moving on with God. They're not saying, oh God, strengthen my hands for this great work, this good work that you've called me to. I pray that you never forget that God has called you to a great work. Any work for God is a great work.
Pastor Bill will continue his study from Nehemiah on tomorrow's program, so please tune in again, won't you? And in the meantime, we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.